Please turn with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I have just one verse to consider, and I believe it's a heart-searching verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Well-known verse, familiar verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So one verse, as I said, heart-searching verse. Really, this is how it should be looked at. But it's so precious because this verse actually telescopes the work of the church. So if you are asked, what is the duty of the church? This verse gives the answer. It encompasses really what the church is called to do. And when I say the church, I'm speaking also about the local church. The local church. It is a motto text, a good motto text. So if you don't have a motto text, I believe this could also be a life motto text. And that's Tyndale commenting on this verse. He said, the verse has mud and blood on it. So this verse is a verse to call us for labor and for service unto the Lord. But why this verse is put at the end? I think that's the first question we should ask. Why not somewhere else? Because it seems everything hangs really on this verse. Everything hangs on this wonderful verse. I wouldn't go into the chapter, the verses in the chapter, but I believe 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the 10 most important chapters of the Bible. Why? Because you have the gospel explained in it. The atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ explained in it. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The evidence of His resurrection. But we have also our own resurrection. If you want to study on heaven, people ask sometimes, what is heaven? How heaven looks like? A good start, an overview of heaven is given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But it goes to more than that. 1 Corinthians 15 is about our justification. It's about our sanctification. It's about the work of the church. It's about worship. It's about service. It's about good works also. Because we are not saved by good works. But once we are saved, my dear brothers and sisters, please never neglect the importance of good works in a believer's life. Saved for good works, not by good works. But 1 Corinthians 15 also is about perseverance. A Christian is somebody who perseveres. A Christian is somebody who is patient, waiting for the day of the Lord. But 1 Corinthians 15 is also about assurance. Maybe this morning you are here or I'm here. I lack assurance. I'm not sure about things, how things are going to be. 1 Corinthians 15 is again a good start for you. So we could really multiply the importance of this chapter. But do you see something before verse 58? I believe Paul could have stopped also there. Verse 57, he said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He could have stopped there with that great note of victory. But he must carry on because there is a work for us to do while we are on this earth. My dear brothers and sisters, we stand on the gospel. Our standing is the gospel. And the simplest definition again for the gospel, good news. Good news of victory. Good news from heaven. Good news of overcoming sin. Good news of how here is me, a wretched sinner. Oh, I think sometimes I'm better than others. But how could a wretched sinner like me be accepted before the living God? Oh, the gospel is so marvelous. We stand in the gospel, and the gospel will keep us until the very last day. My dear brothers and sisters, again, without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the gospel will just be another opinion, another philosophy. The gospel will just be good intentions and good morals. But the gospel is more than that. That's why 1 Corinthians 15 is about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and our own resurrection. Because He is risen from the dead, because He is alive, there is work for us today. And His resurrection gives a meaning to our Christian life. And that's why the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ should impact the way we live. You could do a study for yourself later when you go through the book of Acts. Every sermon in the book of Acts mentions the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe if we want a revival to happen in our days, we should preach more often about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because every other religion have a dead guru, a dead prophet. But our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. In so many times, maybe more than 20 times, we are told in the New Testament that Christ is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. So there is great impact for us in our own communities. And the resurrection of Christ gives a reason for our presence here. What is the work of the local church? This verse gives the answer. And it is our daily call, it is our labor, it is our commitment, it is our duty. So please don't just celebrate. We live in a world where people are celebrating day after day. Just imagine, if we are all celebrating, nobody will be here. But there is work for us to do. It's not just about celebrating, but we must remember the outcome of the resurrection, because it is our final destination. No, I don't agree with people who are saying Christians are miserable. We are not miserable. We are not hopeless. We are not helpless. Why? Because Christ is risen from the dead. And the chapter again expounds on those aspects. So before I come to the verse, I know it has been maybe a long introduction. My dear brothers and sisters, why do we meet week after week? Why are we learning Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday we are learning? You know how many volumes Spurgeon has, or how many volumes are published about Spurgeon's sermons? So many. But he didn't say everything about the gospel. The gospel is omnipotent, really. Nobody can say everything about how great the gospel is. So why do we send missionaries? Why do we support them? Why do we knock on the doors? Why we pray? Why do we pray week after week, daily? Why do we pray? This verse gives us the answer. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58. Gives the answer to every question we have asked this morning. So, my dear brothers and sisters, is your heart cold? Is my heart cold? I hope this verse will help us as we study it this morning. So, look first of all, the first word which is mentioned in the verse. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, every preacher will tell you that is a connecting word. It is a word that links. Can I say, maybe this link, connecting word really helps us to say this verse gives us a conclusion to 15 chapters. From chapter 1 to 15, this is the conclusion. So, what is it for? After doctrine comes the practice. Some of us, we know all the doctrines, but when it comes to the doing, we are reluctant, we are hesitant, we are more passive. But here you have that connecting word. Therefore, we could even translate it, because of all what has been said, on the basis of what has been said. My dear brothers and sisters, never dissociate doctrine and practice. There is no dichotomy between the two. You see, when the head knows a lot, the heart should follow, and the hand should follow also. Never just have a big head. What does the Bible say? Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. And we should never be people who know everything about every subject, but when it comes to the doing, we are passive. So, therefore, the local church is a place for service. We are called to do something that will last for life, that will last forever. So many things, I'm sure you don't need me to tell you this, so many things are done in this world which are just vanity. They will not last for a day. They will not last for a century. So many words also are said which are just empty words. Talk is cheap, as they say. But therefore, because of all what has been said so far, there is a work for us to do in the local church. But the second word appears in the verse as Paul speaks to the believers. Therefore, my beloved brethren. If you go back earlier in verse 1 and so on, he kept calling them my brethren, brethren. But now there is a shift. He says, my beloved brethren. It overwhelms me to know that I'm loved and beloved by the living God. I hope, don't you feel the same? Why should God love you? Why should? Do I deserve His love? But here, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, we are brothers and sisters in the church of the living God. The answer to grace, the answer to the love of God is faith, hope, and love. Hope, faith, and love are the answers to the love of God and to His grace. We can pay nothing back. Can you? All the tears, all the prayers cannot pay back what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. You know, you and me should be on the cross of Calvary. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, punish me instead of him, instead of her. Punish me instead of them. I'm going to die on the cross of Calvary for the church, for the sheep, for those the Father has given him before the foundation of the world. So, therefore, my beloved brethren, now, there are six things coming in the verse. There are more, I'm sure. Even now, as I read the verse, more things are coming out. But there are six things I would like to put before you in the lapse of time we have before us. And three of them are commands, imperatives. And the three commands are in what we may call in the present tense, in the active voice, which means there is nothing passive. My dear brothers and sisters, in the church, we are not spectators. Each one of us is doing something for the Lord. So, six aspects of our calling mentioned in this verse, and among the six ones, there are three imperatives, which means there is nothing optional. There is nothing, I want to do it today, tomorrow I don't want to do it. You know, there are people, I'm not speaking about you, but anyway, I don't know much of you, but there are people, they wake up happily, this is, God will be with me today. So it's a matter of moods. They wake up with sadness, today will be a sad day. We do not function according to our moods. And sometimes the younger ones, at least in my ministry for more than 20 years, some of them have asked me, Pastor, I do not want to read the Bible today. I don't feel like reading the Bible today. What do you suggest? What do you give me as an advice? My dear brothers and sisters, what do you want me to give you as an advice? Do you want me to say to you, don't read the Bible? No. You feel it or not, you read the Bible. Why? Because the blessing is in the Word. Not in my moods, not in hearing voices. But the blessing, the grace of God is manifested unto us in reading the Word of God. So, without any further ado, here is the first one. As Paul speaks to us, the first command given to us in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Steadfast. And the first thing I would like to mention in that command, the labor, the work of the Lord, the duty, our calling is a call to stability. Stability is so important. And elsewhere, if we don't have time to turn into those verses, in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13, Paul will say exactly the same. In Ephesians 6 verse 11, he will say the same, that we have to be steadfast. Steadfast. Steadfast means firmly rooted. It means well-seated, grounded, established, persistent, committed. My dear brothers and sisters, there are so many powers in this world to distract you. Come here, listen to this one, go there, go here. So many voices just to capture, to captivate our attention. And that's why, remember, what you think is what you are. Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, a man is what he thinks. That's why In so many religions they say, empty your mind, empty your mind. That's wrong. Don't empty your mind, because your mind is the palace of faith. It's the palace of faith. Faith starts with the mind, not with emotions. Because my emotions are falling and failing. Every day they are changing. Today I'm happy, tomorrow unhappy, and so on. So we cannot base our faith on feelings. But stability. Stand fast. That's the first command Paul gives us in this text. Oh, don't be distracted. Don't waver. Don't wander away from the truth. Be settled about your faith. Can I give you an example of our the importance of our steadfastness and stability? Are all religions equal? This is what you hear, even in churches. Oh, Muslims, they believe in God. No, not all religions are equal. Not all gods are equal. You know how our faith is called in the Bible? I'm sure you know. The Bible says we have the most holy faith. Not just faith, but the most holy faith. That's why Jude verse 3 says, contend for that faith. Is every religion take a person to heaven? No, Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There is only one religion which provides a saving savior, a saving redeemer, and that is Christianity according to the Bible. No, all religions are not equal. That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, when Paul says be steadfast, he is speaking about having our eyes fixed on eternity, having our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, having our eyes and our mind fixed on the Word of God. Don't waver. Stand firm. Don't let circumstances, temptations, and disappointments sweep you away. Trials will come. Temptations will come. But we have to remain steadfast. A lot could be said on this first one. But the second, we must move on. Oh, the second command is given to us in this verse again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Unmovable. What does it mean? It's like there is an intensity now. Actually, steadfast and unmovable may be synonymous. But now, you have another step. Don't just be steadfast. but be unmovable, which means, to put a simple word there, it means be unstoppable. Nothing should stop you. Nothing should stop you. Be unshakable when things go wrong. Be resolute and anchored your faith to the rock. The world, its views, its trends, its fashions is changing every day. But the Lord Jesus Christ, His word is settled forever in heaven. So don't let false doctrines again toss you to and fro. Resist the devil. Don't be shaken, because this problem and that problem is happening in the church. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, church is not led by opinions. Oh, this is happening in the church, so I'm in trouble. The church is led by the word, not by the opinions of people. So don't let anything shake you. Stability, stickability, and reliability are so crucial. And I have met believers. I hope this is not said about anyone in our congregation this morning, but I have met people. Someone may say to me, you see that brother or that sister, she is not reliable. Oh, God forbid. God forbid. I want to be reliable. I want to be faithful. The ministry I have been given, I will never give last minute. Unless something dramatic has happened, I want to keep my ground. I have been called to do that. Oh Lord, help me to be stable. My dear brothers and sisters, please, if you can let my heart speak to you, I'm saying these things with great love to each one of you and compassion. But if I can only speak to your heart, are you steadfast? Are you unmovable? Somebody who is unstoppable. Someone who is reliable. Reliable at work. Reliable in the church. Reliable in Sunday school. Reliable in knocking at the doors. Reliable in serving the Lord. Reliable in giving, in supporting the work of the Lord. Am I reliable? Oh, this is the call for the church. Keep your ground and stand your ground and even expand your ground. Be loyal to your duty. Be faithful unto the end. Now the third imperative. The first one is about stability. The second one is about solidity. Be unmovable. And the third one is about activity. And Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Activity is expected on every believer. Steadfast, unmovable, but not to be stationary or stagnant. The resurrection is about life. That's the context, is about life. So, can I say, resurrection works. It works. Why? Because, as the saying goes, germinate or terminate. A Christian who is not fruitful will remain stagnant. But everywhere in the Word of God, we are called to bear fruits. And there is no way to be risen from the dead and to be inactive. The word abounding is an interesting word, really. I want to keep everything simple, really simple. It means what? It means overflow. It means exceeding. There is something you will never overdo. People sometimes warn us or they admonish us, oh, you are overdoing it. You are oversaying it. But there is something you will never overdo. Abounding in the work of the Lord. So don't fear. Don't fear of doing much for the Lord. Why? Because this is our calling. My dear brothers and sisters, pray more. Preach more if you are a preacher. Read more. Love more. Obey more. Attend more services. Give more to the Lord. Witness more. And even wait more. We live in a world of instantaneity. Money, instant coffee, instant work, instant whatever, instant trip, instant travel, last minute whatever, and so on. But the work of the Lord requires waiting also. We do not sow today and reap tomorrow. We have to wait. We have to be patient. We are waiting for the Lord to come back. That requires also patience in the life of a believer. So, we will never be guilty of overdoing the work of the Lord. To abound is to abide in Christ. I have no time to go to John 15, but there is a chorus, if I may use that word in terms, in relation to the word of God. There is a chorus there. The Lord said, if you abide in me, you shall bear fruit. You shall bear more fruit. You shall bear fruit that abides and fruit that remains, that lasts. Not just something which is ephemeral, but something which will really last in the life of a believer. That's why in his service, we give our time, we give our energy, we give our thoughts. Please, I hope no one also here is saying, I will be involved when I have more time. You will never have more time. Because one thing finishes, another thing comes. That's how life functions. This is the rule of life. So, redeem the time, because the days are evil. So always be doing, be involved. The work of God requires time, it requires energy, it requires labor in our parts. And as Spurgeon said, be like a candle that burns at both ends. Don't wait for a sign. People are waiting for a sign. They say, oh, when the Lord speaks to me, when the Lord gives me a sign. You know what is the sign? This verse is the sign. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding, steadfast, unmovable, abounding, which means exceeding, overflowing. The cup should overflow, not just when I want it, but at all times. Oh yes, work hard to provide for your family, to pay your bills, but remember to abound in good works for God. The old saying, I'm sure you know it, the old saying, we are saved to serve. Not saved to sit, but saved to serve, to worship the Lord and to serve Him. So, I must move to the fourth one and look at the constancy. There is a solidity, stability, activity, but there is also consistency and constancy. All those words could be really used in terms of the fourth aspect given to us here. The fourth aspect is given in a word which we all know. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always. Always. English is not my native language, but you don't need a dictionary to know what always means. Always means what? At all times. Not just when I want, not just at random, not just on Sundays. So serve Him, love Him, and worship Him always. We never retire from the service of the Lord. Never. Until the day the Lord takes us. That day, I retire. But while I still have this heart is beating there, my body can function, I want to be serving the Lord. Always, always, every moment of every day, at every opportunity, without ceasing, in young age and in old age. Can I use you some words which are always accompanied with the word always? Pray always. First Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing, always. First Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks to the Lord always. So whatever we do is always for the Lord. So witness always, do good works always. Philippians 4 verse 4, even children I'm sure have memorized this verse. Philippians 4 verse 4, rejoice when? Always. Always. That's our calling, my dear brothers and sisters. So we do these things always because that's our calling. And the fifth thing, I know time is almost over, but the fifth thing given to us in verse 58 is about mastery. We know. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know. So we know this is more than faith, you know. It is what? It is a fact. A fact. Not just faith. We know about it. God is going to do it. We are convinced and we are persuaded. It is tangible. It is palpable. I would like next time I'm given an opportunity to do a study really about expression. We know. So many times in the Bible, Romans 8 verse 28, we know. 1 John, many times, you know the key word in 1 John is the verb actually to know. I know. Can I know if I'm going to heaven or not? Yes, we know. Why did the Bible was written? So that we may know. The agnostics, they say it is impossible to know. But the Bible says we know. We know we are passed from death to life. So God gives us a guarantee here that we know that something is going to happen. Now the sixth part I would like to put before you. The certainty. There is a certainty. And how did Paul put it here? He says to us, abounding in the work of the Lord for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That your labor, your hard labor, will not be in vain. When you go back in verse 14 and 15 of the same chapter, you will see the word vain many times. But now, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. The work we do for the Lord will not be in vain. God takes notice to our labor. You know what is heaven's economy? Heaven's economy is very simple. Nothing you do for the Lord is ever meaningless. Nothing you do for the... If it's for the Lord you have done it, it will not be futile. God wastes nothing. People toil for so many things who are just vanity. But in the kingdom of God, your effort, the repetition of your actions will be rewarded. And before I close, parents who are educating their children in the fear of God, this verse says it will not be in vain. Sunday school teacher, you prepare your lesson in prayer before the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58 says it will not be in vain. Preachers, you have done your homework before the Lord. You prayed about it. You thought about it. Not just to speak because it's nice to speak. It will not be in vain. Isaiah 55 says that the word of God shall not go back to God void. Your prayers will not be in vain. Your tears will not be in vain for the Lord. Your service will not be in vain. Your outreach, witnessing to the neighborhood. The daily dying to myself will not be in vain. Your sacrifice will not be in vain. Your stability, your steadfastness, your discipline, your sacrifice will not be in vain. Why? Is the gospel in vain? No. Is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in vain? No. Is his coming back in this world vain? No. Nothing about the Bible and in the Bible is in vain. God will reward every man according to his work. Serving the Lord is the best antidote against gossip and selfish desires in a church. So instead of being busy doubting the Lord, I want to be busy doing his work. Do you see something as I close? It is the Lord's work, not the pastor's work, not the church's work. It is the Lord's. Everything we do in the church is for the Lord. So I close by saying, are you discouraged? I hope not. This is your verse. This is a verse. It compels us to labor, to a holy life, a life of sanctification, a committed life in the service of the Lord. He is our Lord, and he will never fail. Because we are told, and I close with this, Galatians 6 verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Are you steadfast, unmovable, abounding? Always, you know, we know, your labor in the Lord will not be in vain. May the Lord bless us and help us as we serve him. Let's close by singing.